Hey, what's up, family? It's Coach Josh, and in today's video, we're going to be talking about the top three things that dilutes our anointing, and we're also going to talk about how to strengthen and sustain the anointing in your life. Before we get into those points, let's first break down what the anointing is, because my wife and I was having a very good conversation about this. And I felt the Holy Spirit leading me to talk about this because it's very important for us to understand what it means to be anointed by God to do something impactful in every area of our lives. So let's go ahead and define what the anointing is. And I wrote a lot of good points and I want to get to them. It says the anointing refers to a divine empowerment or consecration bestowed by God upon people or individuals or objectives for a specific purpose or function. The anointing refers to a divine empowerment, meaning that it is of the supernatural essence and ability upon one's life, or consecration bestowed by God upon individuals or objects for a specific purpose or function. The anointing is a divine empowerment that liberates and uplifts God's people, breaking chains and setting souls free. It's God's supernatural touch on human endeavors, enhancing our natural abilities beyond our limits. Very powerful definition. Let's break it down real briefly. So we see that the anointing is a divine empowerment, God empowering us based upon our level of obedience to function at a high level, to do something supernatural with the whole intent to set captives free. Who were you called, or what area were you called to break the chains of? See, all of us have abilities, but not all of us have our abilities anointed. Anointed abilities means that God is infusing and empowering our skills, talents, and giftings with in the person's life who is submitted. The real question is, are you submitted enough to be anointed? Let's continue on. It says, the anointing is a divine empowerment that liberates and uplifts God's people, breaking chains and setting souls free. So the anointing is God's divine empowerment, infusing in us liberation and upliftings. So God wants us, no matter where we are, to be beacons, to be tools, to be individuals that he can use to liberate as well as uplift. That's the divine purpose of the anointing on our lives. It's an individual whose life is consecrated and focused, fellowshipping at a high level with God to such a degree that God can now use that individual supernaturally to liberate and uplift. The goal in everything that we do should liberate and uplift. On my coaching call yesterday, a young lady asked a very important question about how we can operate without being super Christianese. That how can we be in the marketplace in business? How we can be in society and not necessarily have to talk God, but live God, and how that empowers. And I begin to share with her about how we as individuals should be so anointed that when people come into our lives, they will sense a difference. They will sense a higher frequency. They will sense divinity. They will sense the divine essence, presence of God. The more we pray, the more we read, the more we subtract the negative things out of our lives, the more heightened the anointing is on our lives. That even like Paul, when his shadow walked by, healed people, our mere presence, our mere shadow, our mere presence can liberate. When you step into the room, can people's minds, souls, bodies be liberated? When you walk into a room without saying a word, can people feel uplifted? That's the anointing of God on our lives. It says, the divine empowerment that liberates and uplifts God's people, breaking chains and setting souls free. Everywhere we are, whether you in the workplace or you in the marketplace or you a stay-at-home mom or whatever it is that you do, God wants you to be a beacon, a conduit for his anointing to flow. Because how many souls are bound because we're not like hounds, where we're not on the hunt, that we're not really in tune and sensitive to what it is that God wants us to do. It also says, it's God's supernatural touch on a human endeavor. I love that. Enhancing our natural abilities beyond our limits. So right now, my goal and my hope is that the words that I'm speaking is infused with a high level of God's anointing to such a degree that as you listen to the words that I'm speaking, as you immerse yourself under this teaching, there is some liberation occurring and some uplifting occurring. That my words right now, if it's just me speaking, it may inspire you, but it won't transform you. So God wants to empower your abilities. God wants to supernaturally touch your speaking, supernaturally touch your writing, supernaturally touch your business acumen, supernaturally touch your hospitality, supernaturally touch what you do, supernaturally infuse it. If it's not supernaturally infused, it can't be used. And so every day we should be endeavoring to say, God, use me today. Fill me up with your presence. Utilize me as a vessel for the vision that you have for me today. And as I go and flow with you, God, liberate those around me. It also wrote here, it often signifies the presence and power. I'm going to go up. It says, it's God's supernatural touch on human endeavor, enhancing our natural abilities beyond our limits. When people experience you, they should be able to walk away and say, yo, there's something else on that person. Wow, I know that person. How in the world are they able to speak that way? How in the world are they able to put those words together or come with a solution like that or create this recipe and design this drama, create this play, develop this movie? God wants to enhance our natural abilities because everybody has natural abilities. The only thing that will separate us from the others in the world is the super to our natural, where God enhances our natural abilities beyond our limits, meaning that you have a limit, I have a limit. But the more that we begin to access God and begin to infuse our lives into who he is and to stay in awe of him, to consecrate our lives and allow it to be abandoned before him, then we'll be able to go beyond those limits with a supernatural grace, supernatural favor, supernatural anointing that when people experience you, they experience God. I also wrote, it often signifies the presence and power of the Holy Spirit working through someone to accomplish God's will or ministry. So the first step in order to position you to be highly anointed by God, to be able to be used in a mighty way, you and I must desire his will. And the Bible says his will is our sanctification. So the more that we desire to be sanctified, the more that we desire to go to greater depths of holiness, and really begin to pursue God and nothing else, the more we will be anointed and the more God's presence will reside in us in a mighty way. And the next thing you know, your marriage is bulletproof. Your marriage is demonic proof. Your singleness is demonic proof. Like demons cannot dwell in a highly anointed individual's lives. They can't. Because it's too much power. It's too much divine frequency. It's too much. Let's keep going. Having an anointing on your life. Let's get more specific. Having an anointing on your life means being chosen, empowered, and equipped by God for a specific purpose or ministry. It signifies a special divine favor and ability to carry out tasks, serve others, and fulfill God's will with power and effectiveness. So powerful. So when someone has an anointing on their life, this means being chosen. You and I have been chosen. Now, the Bible says many are called, but few are chosen. It's probably because the probability of everyone wanted to be chosen or allowing themselves to be chose instead of froze could just mean that most people are just called. Meaning you're called to something, but based upon your willingness determines if you're chosen for it. It says life being life meaning or having anointing on your life means being chosen and empowered and equipped. Those three things are essential. That is the process to being anointed and being highly used with that anointing. Number one, you must be chosen. God has a chosen assignment for you. But if you're out of alignment, there's no anointing flowing through. So God has an assignment, whatever it is, and he has multiple assignments. He has hourly assignments. He has daily assignments. He has weekly assignments. He has monthly assignments. He has assignments all over the place. And based upon you and I's alignment will determine how much the Holy Spirit flows through. Just like if I bend a branch or I alter the vine, then the vine won't be able to pass through to ensure that the branch is nurtured, strengthened, and able to bear the fruit. And so if we're out of alignment in our spirits and we don't really understand what it means to be submitted to the Holy Spirit, or if we're out of alignment in our soulless realm, whether our thoughts are out of alignment or our emotions are out of alignment, our knowledge is out of alignment, our skills are out of alignment, our perspectives are out of alignment, if those things are out of alignment, it's going to be very hard for the anointing to flow through. See, the anointing flows from the core of us and it pours from us. So if our core is not right, the pour won't be right. So where in your spirit is out of alignment? Are you spiritually discerning? Like, are you sensitive spiritually? Are you thinking on things that are above? Are you emotionally at ease? Are you casting your anxieties and cares on God? Are you thinking on the right things? Are your perspectives God perspectives? Or if you have addictions in your body, then your body is going to be crippled, even though the anointing may flow through you. Your body's not strong enough to handle the divine flow of God. That's why it's important for the whole man to be whole, so that the whole anointing of God can flow through the whole essence of a person, so they'll be able to be optimally used by God to breaking down demonic yokes and strongholds. Having an anointing on your life means being chosen. So there's a specific thing that you've chosen to, and empowered, that God is empowering those gifts based upon the fervor of your prayer, based upon your spiritual disciplines, based upon your soul being made whole and renewed by the Spirit of God, based upon your body being stewarded well, will determine how much power enters in. And it says, and equipped. Spiritual gifts, natural gifts. You're equipped supernaturally. Right now, people who look at my life, I have been equipped to supernaturally handle a chosen assignment. These words that I speak, I'm equipped, I'm empowered. And my goal is to make sure I sustain that, because there's a big difference between being empowered and not being empowered. But God wants to not only choose you, God wants to empower and equip you. It says for a specific. Now, you cannot use God's anointing for another appointing. You can't appoint where you send the anoint. You can't appoint where you send the anointing. Like, God has a specific thing that you're anointed to do, a specific place to pour your anointing, a specific group of people to pour your anointing on. And if you are and I are not in alignment, we're going to miss out on that assignment. It says it signifies a special, that's unique, divine favor. An ability to carry out tasks, serve others, and fulfill God's will with power and effectiveness. The world is waiting for powerful men and women of God. God is tired of the presenters. God is tired of the people that can exegete, but they're not empowered. Preachers who know how to preach, but don't know how to preach with power. He's tired of moms not having power, fathers not having power, husbands not having power, wives not having power, children not having power. God wants all of his people to have power. Your kids need for you to have the power of God as a father. Your kids need for you to have the power of God as a mother. Your husband needs you to have the power of God as a wife. Your wife needs for you to have the power of God as a husband. The power of God. We're talking about unexplainable power, a power felt, a power that is known in its distinction as something divine. So God wants us to have power and effectiveness. God wants us to be like the SEAL Team 6. He wants us to be the elites of his army. That's why, you know, the harvest is ripe, the labors are few, because not everybody is willing to labor. Not everybody's willing to put in the work. Not everybody's willing to pray long. Read thoroughly. Submit completely. And so it signifies a special divine favor. In order for you to succeed, you need a special divine favor and a special divine ability to carry out the task of a husband. Look, we're not even talking about high level stuff. People think that you need the anointing of God to liberate nations. No, you need anointing God to ensure your family stay liberated. Do you know how much? Listen, there's one thing. It's one thing to be anointed to liberate. It's also important for us to sustain an anointing to stay liberated. My goal is to sustain a level of anointing that protects my family, that protects everything that pertains to me. So the anointing is not just about going out there and doing great things globally and nationally. No, you need the anointing in your home. You need the anointing at your job. You need the anointing in your business. It signifies a special divine favor and ability to carry out tasks, serve others. It shows that God wants to favor and equip us and anoint us to adequately, effectively serve people without selfishness, without a sin, without lust, and fulfill God's will with power and effectiveness. So are you walking in God's power today? Are you walking in high level effectiveness today, or are you just wandering? Now, here are four types of people when it comes to the anointing, and you don't have to tell me, but see where you lie. There's four types of people, and then we're going to talk about those three things that dilutes our anointing and leaves it vulnerable to vultures. Four types of people when it comes to anointing. Number one, no anointing. Number two, lost anointing. Number three, some anointing. Number four, strong anointing. Number one, no anointing. Two, lost anointing. Three, some anointing. Four, strong anointing. No anointing means these people are not sons and daughters of God. They're not endeavoring to do the will of God. They're far from God. They can care less about the things of God. They have abilities. They have endeavors, but it's not supernatural. Just natural, just flawed, just fallen. Lost anointing are people who have the anointing of God, operating in high power before, but they allow certain things to get into life to dilute it. That's why when you listen to certain artists and their albums, you can go back to their first two albums. We're talking about gospel artists and worship artists, right? Their first albums, you felt the sauce. You felt the residue. You felt the anointing on the album. And the songs, but now album three, album four, album five, the anointing's gone. See, there's a big difference between being talented and talented anointed. All gifts are given without repentance. So all of us are talented, but talent doesn't destroy the yokes. Anointing does. When you sing under the anointing, teach under the anointing, work up under the anointing, be present under the anointing, then you begin to activate things in people's lives. And that's why God wants us to be empowered so that when we're in the proximity of people, we can anoint. Lost anointing. Some anointing means you're growing. You have some anointing, but God is still stewarding you and hasn't released you to really go out there to be used because you're still vulnerable, still learning, still growing. Number four, strong anointing means you're in it. You know God, you know yourself, you understand the assignment, you understand the moment, You understand generational implications. You understand kingdom business and advancement. You understand the elite things of God. You understand it to the point to where you're on guard. You're not like the soldiers of Gideon that went to the water and bowed down to it to nourish themselves, but you keep your head on a swivel while still refreshing yourself, while still quenching your thirst. You keep your head on a swivel. We're talking about that level of anointing. So where do you lie? No anointing, a lost anointing, some anointing, or strong anointing. I wrote this right here. We need God's anointing to be successful in every area. Every area, when we are in the anointing of God and we're in the presence of God and we are consecrated. Consecrated means set apart, and we've embraced the holiness of God. We have embraced our state of being holy. And now we're allowing the set apartness of God, the holiness of God, our state of being holy, to inspire and infuse holy living. It's one thing to be set apart as holy. It's another thing to walk in holiness. So right now, be holy for I am holy. Yes, we're separate. God has snatched us from the world. But walking in holiness requires discipline. It requires focus. It requires the removal of things. So we need God's anointing, or we need to sustain a level of anointing to sustain success. Listen, I need to be anointed for my marriage to be sustained, my daughter to be sustained, my ministry, my videos to be sustained. And one thing about the anointing, like the anointing will reside wherever the anointing was shown. So for instance, I have done many videos with the anointing still on that video. The anointing still on it. So the song you sung, the conference you had last week, whatever it is that you did under the anointing of God, it still resides in that moment. That's why it's important to sustain a level of focus and consecration, so your conversations will be so anointed that it stays in the hearts of people, that the content that you make stays anointed. All the anointed videos that God knows for a fact is 100% anointed. Some may, I know some are not. But there's a lot of them that are. No matter how many years ago, the anointing is still in that moment. And no matter where you are in life, that thing will still be impacting others. Now, three things that can dilute, or that dilutes a person's anointing. Three things that dilutes our anointing, leaving us useless to God. Number one, pride. Allowing arrogance or self-importance to overshadow humility and reliance on God will diminish the effectiveness of your anointing. Allowing arrogance or self-importance to overshadow humility and reliance on God will diminish the effectiveness of your anointing. A lot of us, when God, and I've been guilty of this, when God had used me, and God still used me, but back in the day, there were moments where I got full of myself. I was like, oh man, I would watch the video back and forth, back and forth, back and forth. And then I began to start thinking over a period of time that that was me. Until I was humbled. Actually, until I was humiliated. Pride will humiliate you because you will start thinking that it's you. It's God using you. That's why God must be glorified. It must always be, quote unquote, to God be the glory. Are you allowing pride to creep in and think that you were the one that gave you that business acumen, that you were the one that gave you that singing gift, that you were the one that gave yourself that writing gift, that you were the one? Dilutes your anointing. Now you're on your own ability. Now you're on your own power. Now you're on your own strength. And there's nothing worse than being in your own strength in a place where you need God to strengthen you. But he knows that you got pride. Allowing arrogance, allowing, keyword allowing. Most of us, we know pride. But there are times in our lives where we are not aware and we allow arrogance or self-importance to overshadow or dilute humility and cause us not to rely on God, causing the diminishing of our effectiveness of the anointing. Now, the effectiveness of ability is different than the effectiveness of the anointing. Anybody can preach a church happy, but not everybody can destroy the yokes off the congregants. Anybody can sing a song talently and amazingly, but it's not anointed. It's a big difference between the effectiveness of ability, because people can still be touched by what you do, but they may not be able to be transformed. Number two, distractions. Getting caught up in worldly pursuits or distractions can divert focus from the spiritual calling or purpose, reducing the impact of the anointing. Distractions. All of a sudden, you was operating the anointing of God. You start accumulating certain success, and now you get caught up in the world's mess. You start getting caught up in houses, cars, and clothes, and money, and attention, and accolades, and recognition. And you start getting distracted, and you start losing your focus. Been there. Because whatever you focus on flourishes. The more we focus on and invest in our relationship with God and our spiritual strength, the more we're able to laserly destroy the yokes of the enemy and set the captives free. But getting caught up in worldly pursuits and distractions will divert focus from the spiritual calling, not the natural calling, not your mama calling, not your daddy's calling, not your friend's calling, but the spiritual calling and purpose of God. This reduces the impact of your anointing. Because now you're focusing more on crafting the perfect sermon than making sure that you craft it as a holy vessel. Now you're focusing on crafting and doing, nothing wrong with that, in operating excellence, but you can't operate in excellence effectively without the anointing of God, the supernatural touch of God touching through you. Number three, disobedience. Failing to follow God's guidance or commandments can hinder the flow of the Holy Spirit and weaken the anointing in one's life. Disobedience. Not following through, not fulfilling and following the guidance and commandments of God, just doing what you want to do, hinders the flow of the Holy Spirit. Listen, you and I should desire to get to a level where there's no practice sin in our lives. There's no limiting beliefs in our minds. There's no disease in our body. There's no confusion in our spirit, man, so that the Holy Spirit can just be operating through. The issue is the Holy Spirit is too busy cleaning us over and over and over again instead of using us. Let's keep going. Now, let's talk about investing in, and I'm done after this, so I'll probably go about 33 minutes. Investing in the strength of our anointing. Now, let's talk about investing in the strength. Investing in the strength of our anointing means cultivating and nurturing the divine gifts and callings that God has placed on our lives. So in order for us to get to this place of anointing, we must invest. We must invest in the strength. I'm telling you, when you begin to invest in the strength of the anointing in your life, invest in the strength of the calling in your life, then it sustains every area. This involves spending dedicated time in prayer. Listen, man, listen. When we don't pray, we are prey. When we don't pray, P-R-A-Y, we become prey, P-R-E-Y. We must be dedicated in prayer. Prayer is like revving the engine. Prayer is like fueling the vessel. Prayer is tapping deeper in. Prayer is saying, God, I want to go deeper. Do you know you can go as deep into the presence of God as you want? There's no more veil in the holies of holies. When are we going to get out of the outer court into the inner courts? When are we going to get into the holies of holies to get to a place where we can take the shoes off our feet, standing in holy ground, taking that anointing everywhere we are? It involves spending dedicated time in prayer, studying the word, and seeking a deep relationship with God. Every day, you and I must endeavor to seek a deeper relationship with God. How deep are you? Are you still on the seashore? Are you still on the sandy beaches with God? The deep crieth out to deep. The Bible says the Holy Spirit searches the deep things of God. How deep do you want to go? Listen, you can live a billion years and not go as deep. But what I'm saying is, as long as you have life, go as deep as you can. Pray as long as you can. Pray without ceasing. Read the word as thoroughly as you can. Seek the understanding, because I promise you, when you do those things, it will be felt. The touch of God, the anointing of God will be felt. By prioritizing spiritual growth and obedience to his guidance, we can enhance and amplify the anointing on our lives. Don't you want to get to a place that when you walk into a room, your shadow heals people? Your presence heals people? Your presence uplifts people? People know when God is in the room. People know when you walk with God. People can feel the weight of the anointing in your life. The work you put in determines the weight on you. The work you put in determines the weightiness of the anointing of God. So when people feel your presence, there's weeping. There's seeking. There's like, man, I just want more of God. We can enhance and amplify the anointing in our lives, allowing us to walk more powerfully in our God-given purpose and effectively impact others for his kingdom. I love that. I'm going to read it again. By prioritizing spiritual growth and obedience to his guidance, we can enhance and amplify the anointing on our lives, allowing us to walk more powerfully. Does the spiritual ground shake when you walk? Everywhere a believer is, there should be a spiritual earthquake because of the weightiness of the anointing and a powerful disposition and presence on one's life. Demons should scatter because they know you walk with God and you walk like God. You walk heavy like God. Were you able to walk more powerfully? My goal is to go from glory to glory. Every video should be getting better, should be a stronger anointing on. The deeper I go, the stronger the anointing. The deeper you go, the stronger the anointing. God is looking and waiting for powerfully walking husbands, powerfully walking wives, powerfully walking students, powerful walking parents, powerful walking businessmen, and effectively impact others for his kingdom. Now, here are three ways, and I'm done. Three ways to protect the anointing on your life. I'm looking at the chat. My wife said amen twice. So this word is hit home. Then Daya says, you talking to me, God gets the glory. Jayla says she's feeling it. It is time for us to pursue deeper depths of the anointing on God. And it's going to take work. You're just not going to get poured on and expect to walk in great anointing. You got to walk with God when no one sees where y'all going. You got to walk with God and not worry about the destinies. You got to walk with him. And next thing you know, you'll be walking like him and heavy like him. Three ways to protect your anointing. I'm going to go on Instagram real quick. Three ways to protect your anointing on your life. Number one, guard your heart. I'll do more videos on this, but I just want the anointing to do what it does in this video. Guard your heart. Protect your heart from negative influences and temptations that can quench the Spirit's work. Surround yourself with positive, edifying influences that help maintain the purity of the anointing. The Bible says, guard your heart with all vigilance, because from it flows the spring of life. The Bible says a spring cannot produce bitter and sweet water. You have to guard your heart. You got to say, listen, there's some certain things you got to say, I can't watch that no more. I can't listen to that no more. I can't be around you no more. Respectfully, I can't do this no more. Because it begins to quench the Spirit's work and flow. When you are in sin, or when you are distracted, when you're wayward and all over the place, it stops the Holy Spirit's work through you at high levels of anointing. High level focus, high level anointing. Protect your heart from negative influences and temptations that can quench the Spirit's work. Surround yourself with positive and edifying influences that helps maintain the purity and not the purity of the anointing in your life. Number two, stay grounded. Stay grounded in scripture. Don't get too caught up in yourself. Regularly immerse yourself in God's word. Knowing and applying biblical principles helps to safeguard the anointing and keeps you aligned with God's will. That right there could be a video in and of itself. I might do a video for these three. Stay grounded. Regularly immerse yourself in God's word, because the Bible is full of principles, and infused in every principle practice. Every practice principle guarantees a promise. So it says here, knowing, we have to know the biblical principles and apply the biblical principles. When we do that, we become in alignment with God's word. And being in alignment with God's word, that's active and sharp, it keeps us sharp, and it keeps us being stewards, and it protects the anointing of our lives because we are aligned to his will. The lesser the word you know, the lesser the anointing will flow. Because if we don't practice these principles, we won't be protected. Number three, accountability and community. Surround yourself with trustworthy believers who can provide accountability, encouragement, and support. This is big. If you don't have it, let God lead you into that. They can help you stay on track and recognize any areas that might be compromising the anointing in your life. But you must be open to accountability. God's not going to send accountability if you're not accountable. How bad do you want it? How much do you want to walk in the power of God? How much do you want to be known as one who walks with him, who talks with him, who chalks up ideas with him? Don't you want to get to a place where your anointing as a husband empowers your family? The anointing in you as a wife strengthens your home. The anointing flowing in you as a parent activates the gifts and talents of your children. The anointing flowing you in business where people be willing to pay you their wealth for you to be able to help them with their problems because you're witty, you're sharp, you're creative, and you're operating at a high level. My friends, it's possible, but it takes work, because the anointing does destroy the yokes, and there's a lot of yokes out there that needs to be destroyed. I pray this video was a blessing to you. Hey, Questions Research. Hope y'all got something from it. Not going to labor too long about what I have to offer you guys. No. And if you're watching me for the very first time, links in the description box below. Coaching programs, card games, books, all those good things, one-on-one coaching, all that stuff down there below. Check those things out. And what I want you to do tonight, my friends, I want you to find an empty place in your home. Remove all technology. Just bring into that room the Bible, a pen, and a pad. And an open heart. And I want you to begin to talk to God. God, I want to operate at a higher level with you. And begin to fellowship with him in a deeper way. Because my friends, we are in that hour where God's looking for people who has his power, who can step into dry lands and dry places and allow his anointing to enrich it. Love you all. I'm going to see if I can do something on Instagram. I pray this video is a blessing to you. Share, like, comment, all that good stuff. Subscribe if you haven't. And let's walk in a higher level of anointing. Catch y'all next time. Love y'all. And got my cousin said on time message, because God gets the glory. I'm so glad that it was. Well, I'll catch you guys next time. Peace.